Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been speaking about the book of Revelation for a few weeks now. And today we are starting with part 12. And the text is from Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, which says, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Verses 15 to 19 of this chapter are things that are happening in a different world, not in our world. We must understand that there are two kinds of worlds. One is a physical here on earth, and the other one is a spiritual world in heaven. Both worlds are operating synchronically, simultaneously. That's why you speak. What you speak is very important, because what you speak is going to happen. Because what you speak is heard in the spiritual realm, it's going to happen. When you pray into the spiritual world. Because God is spirit, you can only worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, in verse 14, it says that the third woe is coming soon. Verse 14, what we saw last time, the third woe is coming soon. But when you read the verses 15 to 19, you don't see these woes happening. You don't see anything evil or bad that is happening. Here we have worship in heaven. Worship in heaven. When you read prophecy in the Bible, you always have to distinguish between physical and spiritual. Between physical and spiritual. Also, you must understand that in the spiritual world, there is no time as we know time. Therefore, some prophecies, they contain present and future and later future. So the prophecies about the coming Messiah is an example. When you read prophecy in the Old Testament, you can have a prophecy about the first coming of Jesus, and straight away the next verse is about future things, because the time is different. So you have to differentiate, and you have to understand the differences. Now, when John saw and heard the seventh trumpet, he saw something that is still going to happen in the future. When the seventh trumpet sounded, there were voices in heaven. Voices. These loud voices can only be the angelic host and maybe the raptured church. So there was joy in heaven. It says in the Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The seventh trumpet. Now, when you read this verse in the King James Version, you see something is wrong, because the King James Version, some things have been translated wrongly. Because there in King James Version, it says, the kingdoms of the world, in plural. But the real translation is not plural, it is the kingdom of this world. So all world's nations and kingdoms and groups are really under one kingdom with one king, and that is Satan. So the Bible refers to him as a prince of the world. Adam had given him the right, which was the right that was given to Adam to rule this world, and he gave it over to Satan when he disobeyed God. But now events have turned. The kingdom of Satan has become the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. While here on earth trouble is ruling, there is worship in heaven. Satan has finally been stripped of his power, even though he is still enticing people. That power of Satan will be forever, ever broken, and that Christ will reign forevermore causes unspeakable joy in heaven. The setting up of Christ's long-awaited kingdom is the climax of the redemption history. These loud voices proclaim loudly that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the tense of the Greek verb is translated has become the kingdom, describes a future event as though it had already taken place. In an event that without doubt is going to happen. No question, it's going to happen, and therefore it is described as though it had already happened. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ has already arrived, but there is still some time that has to elapse before the actual kingdom can be seen here on earth. But in heaven, is already a done deal. It's declared, it's sure, there's no more question, it's happening. So also the Lord is often referred as Jesus Christ in the New Testament. But when you read Revelation, it often refers to God the Father. And this shows that the two are one. The equality they share is their nature. So John doesn't make a distinction between the earthly millennial kingdom of Jesus and the eternal kingdom of Jesus. The two will merge, and Jesus will reign forever and ever. Praise God. Mm-hmm. This event has been waited for a long time. Now it comes, and the host of heaven bursts forth in praises to God, to the one whom they have faithfully served since they were created. Then we read Revelation 11, verse 16 and 17. And the 24 elders who were seated on their throne before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." I explained about the 24 elders when we studied chapter 4 with part 4. If you don't know the meaning of that, please go back, listen to the message once again. They had prayed for ages that God's kingdom would come. They eagerly anticipated the day when Jesus would take over and take back the earth back from Satan. We read that the elders fell down on their faces before God and worshipped him. Their worship is a joyous cry of praise and is filled with the gratitude for what they have prayed for a long time. Now, Revelation 11:17 in the New American Standard Bible, it says, We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. In their praise, they focus on three attributes of God. First, they call him the Almighty, which focuses on God's sovereign and omnipotent power. Next, the elders proclaim that God is eternal. By the phrase, who are and who were, usually we say who was and is and is to come. And this is to come is not in this verse, because at this time, what he talks about, already he had come. So there is no longer any waiting or anticipating, because God has come. And now is a God who existed in eternity past and eternity present. God who has no beginning and has no end. He has always been and will always be. As it says in that song, you are, you were, and you will be. So it is always eternal. And third, the elders praise God for the sovereignty, proclaiming to God, you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. Now the verb which is translated from the Greek verb, have taken, is a verb that signifies the permanence of God's sovereign rule, one that will never end. Never end. And again, the tense of the verb translate have begun to reign describes a future event that is so certain that it is spoken of as already it had happened, even though the event has not occurred on earth yet. It's so certain that it is spoken of as it has already happened. So the 24 elders continue to worship. Their worship is a summary statement of what else is going to happen during the seventh trumpet. There are five results that lead up to Jesus reigning on the throne of David in Jerusalem, reigning over the whole earth. And verse 18 in the New American Standard Bible, it says, and the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. The time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Hallelujah, praise God. The seventh trumpet reveals that the nations were enraged at the idea that God's kingdom is being established over the whole world. And King David, he saw that in advance. He wrote about it in the second Psalm, Psalm 2, verses 1 to 6, where it says, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. But the one on the throne in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king in Zion on my holy hill. The nations will be in an uproar. They take their stand against Jesus Christ. Their hatred of fallen and sinful man against the divine control began when Cain has murdered his brother Abel. He hated God's interference, and this has continued throughout the ages up to our days. Men still are dying at the hands of rebellious men for claiming the power for God, for claiming the things for God, and for claiming his son. A preacher who is preaching what the Bible says is not loved. But a preacher who preaches what the people want to hear, his church will be full. People are coming in streams because this pastor is saying everything is great and you will become rich. Everything is good. Everything is one problem. No, there's no problem. Don't worry about your sin. God is good. He always forgives. Everything is clear. That church will be full. But when you preach your word, as the Bible says, people don't like to hear it. So surrender to God is intolerable to the nations of the world. It's intolerable to the nations of the world. This anger and hatred will continue until the armies of the earth converge in the valley of Megiddo to fight against God, but they will utterly fail, and Jesus Christ will reign victoriously. The second result of the 24 elders is they said, "Your wrath has come." God has withheld his wrath for so long. He was patient with the world so long because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance and to accept him as Lord and Savior. Up to this day, still people are able to come. So long as it has been withheld, so long that people begin to believe that God is not able to have anger and wrath. They believe God is so good, he will forgive everything. There's no judgment going to come. It is true, God is love. But God is also light, and light reveals the deeds of darkness. God hates sin. And the day of his grace is coming to an end for man who refuse to repent and continue to rebel against God. The sounding of the seventh trumpet announces the terrible wrath of God. Man may be enraged, but his rage will be much higher, much stronger. God's anger is not an outburst of temper where he suddenly gets angry. It's a holy indignation against sin. We hate sin. We don't hate the sinners. The third result of the days of the seventh trumpet, and the time has come for the dead to be judged, it says. Now the Greek word translated time means a season, or an occasion, or an event. The judgment spoken here is a general reference to all future judgments. It doesn't separate the different kinds of judgments as it does in the closing chapters of Revelation. They are simply referred to as if they were one event. This is just a summary of what is coming. And fourth, the days of the seventh trumpet will be a time of rewarding his servants and the prophets and his saints, those who reverence your name, and both small and great. Now the seventh trumpet rewards the prophets, which includes all those who proclaim God's word throughout history. All those faithful men and women who stood for God in heart and sinful days, forced faced with strong opposition, and they will be rewarded. Also, those redeemed both in the Old and in the New Testament will be rewarded. All of God's saints, both small and great, will receive a reward. And then number five, it says in the seventh trumpet, are to destroy those who destroy the earth. Ungodly and unbelieving people have tried to save the world with their own power, to make it a habitation where God is neither recognized nor honored. All they succeed in is doing more destruction. Those who destroy the earth does not refer actually to those people who pollute the environment, but those who pollute the world with sin. So this includes all unbelievers, and that day of destruction, as God's terrible wrath is poured out on sinful, rebellious people, they are destroyed for destroying the earth. And those who survive the bowl judgment, what we will come to afterwards, will be wiped from all of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. The seventh trumpet has begun. The great tribulation has begun. And the wrath of God has started. Then it says in verse 19, Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. Heaven was opened. The Bible teaches that there's a temple in heaven. Amen. Moses was commanded to build the tabernacle according to the pattern that God had given to him. This was a copy of the temple in heaven. At the blast of the seventh trumpet, the Holy of Holiness is thrown open, and John sees the ark of the covenant, the symbol of God's purpose and his faithfulness, his mercy seat. Remember, the pattern of the ark was given to Israel and not to the church. We see on this picture a picture of the ark of the covenant. The church is the bride of Christ, and we are not connected to the old Israel. It does not have any part with the earthly temple worship, nor with the governmental affairs of the nation of Israel, by which they are bound by a covenant of God. The earthly ark disappeared, but when God begins to deal with Israel and the governmental affairs with which Israel is bound, the Ark of the Covenant will appear. The Ark of the Covenant of the earth was a place where God's dwelling was, in the Holy of Holiness with his people. Here we see the Ark putting forth judgment, lightning and thunder, an earthquake and a hailstorm. It speaks of God's majesty and of his judgment. The blowing of the seventh trumpet brings about a great catastrophe on the earth. lightnings, noises, and it's like thunder, thunderings, and earthquake, and a great hail. It will destroy a lot. So these events often are associated with the glory of God. And the glory of God is coming, all these things are happening. From the earth standpoint, the woe aspect of the seventh trumpet is spiritual. Now the seventh and final trumpet of judgment has sounded. We must not confuse the sounding of the seventh trumpet of judgment with the last trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is talking about the resurrection and the rapture. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed." Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Paul is writing that at the sound of the last trumpet, everything will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But the sounding of the seventh trumpet in Revelation will not happen so fast. When you remember the mighty angel in chapter 10, he said, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound." So in the days, so it is a plural. So the seventh trumpet in of judgment is not happening just like this. It's a period of time. So the seventh trumpet, yes, the seventh trumpet judgment foresees the end of the blast when Jesus will reign over all earth. The Greek language uses a tense that sees it as already accomplished. Already it has happened. And when it has happened in heaven, we know it is going to happen on earth. What God has promised, he will do. He is faithful and he keeps his promises. The appearance of the Ark of the Covenant reminded the Apostle John of God's presence with his people, the Jews, and to covenant promises that will be fulfilled. So we have to understand there are two worlds, the physical world and spiritual world. There are two times, the times that we have, the times that are in heaven. And we have to understand God is dealing differently with Israel and with the church. Amen.